On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It was personal with Abu Musab al-Zarqawi when American businessman Nicholas Berg's head was cut off on videotape. The voice of the knife-wielding cutter was identified as Zarqawi's. He dreamed, along with Sunni terror chief Osama bin Laden, of a new Islamic caliphate stretching far across the Middle East. He hated Americans. He hated a lot of Muslims, specifically the Shiites, who are most of Iraq. And he pushed hard for civil war there. Now we are told Zarqawi is dead, killed in a U.S. airstrike. It's a victory for the U.S. effort celebrated by the Iraqi government. So how big a victory? Up next on Point, the killing of Zarqawi and the struggle in Iraq now. We'll be hearing voices from right around the country and the world today. We open with Fawaz Jurjez. He joins us from New York, professor of Middle East and International Affairs at Sarah Lawrence College, author of America and Political Islam. Fawaz, thanks for being with us. On the scale of events in this now long and costly war, where do you rank the death of Zarqawi?
Well, I think it represents a severe blow to al-Qaeda network in Iraq. I think it's a major operational and symbolic blow. But I think we need to be more skeptical and more critical about the long-term impact of the killing of Zarqawi on the situation in Iraq, on the fight against al-Qaeda, the parent organization worldwide.
Make the arguments for us, if you will, for and against expectation of impact here. What's the argument that there will be a significant long-term impact? Is there one?
I think the argument basically lumps all the insurgents in Iraq with al-Qaeda's fighters. We know that al-Qaeda in Iraq represents a tiny fraction of the insurgents, less than 10%. We know that the sectarian divide has become much more lethal and brutal than the insurgency. And we know that al-Qaeda in Iraq, Zarqawi Network, has established a homegrown base in Iraq, which is likely to remain in the country for many years to come.
But if we have pulled Zarqawi out of this picture, might it open a chance to diminish that sectarian conflict? After all, that's what he was going at again and again, kill the Shiites, drive a wedge between the Sunni and the Shia. Is there a chance for that gap to be closed?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely, there is a chance. I mean, it is. That's what I started by saying. It really represents a major political, operational, and symbolic blow to al-Qaeda. But at the end of the day, what you need to think about are the political conditions in Iraq. Unless the political conditions improve, unless Iraq has resolved their differences, unless the Iraqi leadership overcomes its sectarian differences, unfortunately, I think this will be looked upon in the future as a missed opportunity in the bigger fight, in the unfolding political struggle in the Middle East and Iraq.
And what about Zarqawi in a broader regional and even world picture? He directed attacks in Jordan, attacks against Israel. We're told recently via the Internet he's been encouraging attacks in North America. Does his killing matter to al-Qaeda globally?
Yes, absolutely. Remember, I mean, Zarqawi is the public face of al-Qaeda in Iraq. He is the most senior field commander. He has built al-Qaeda from zero in Iraq. He created the infrastructure. He has been very effective in carrying out bombings, not only against the Iraqi government, but also against the coalition forces. I think in many ways, he, as Ayman Zawahiri said, the war in Iraq has broken America's back. The death of Zarqawi basically hammers a deadly nail in the coffin of that particular argument.
Operationally, how much will his absence matter? I mean, we've seen him in a gruesome hands-on roles. We're told that he was even the one cutting the head off Nicholas Berg, that he was deeply involved in killing after killing and some on a very wide scale. What does it mean operationally for al-Qaeda, this portion of the insurgency that he is, we're told, gone?
I mean, first of all, let's tell our listeners, al-Qaeda in Iraq, according to American commanders, represents between 5 and 10% of the 40,000 insurgents. It's very limited in number and strategic reach, even though its operations have been spectacular, brutal, deadly, lethal, killings, beheadings, and so on and so forth. So in this particular sense, let me go further and argue. Even if Al-Qaeda was to be eliminated from Iraq, the insurgency will likely remain vibrant, lethal, and dynamic. Bulk of the insurgency is indigenous. The bulk of the insurgency is homegrown Iraqi. But the killing of the Zarqawi represents a deadly nail in the coffin of the Al-Qaeda network in Iraq as opposed to the broader military and political insurgency in the country.
Fawaz Jurjis in New York, please stand by. I want to turn to London. We're joined there by Jeremy Binney, senior analyst with Jane's Terror and Insurgency Center. Mr. Binney, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Fawaz Jurjis says, big political moment here. Although operationally on the ground, the insurgency is likely to go on. Al-Qaeda in Iraq, only 5 to 10% of that insurgency. Do you imagine the texture, the face, the nature of the insurgency changing with Zarqawi's killing?
It's actually been changing for the last few months anyway. It's shifted away from necessarily an anti U.S. anti-occupation insurgency into a conflict that's much more Iraqi on Iraqi, Shia Muslim versus Sunni Muslim. And in that respect, Zarqawi's largely achieved his objective.
So he's dead, but he's already established the sectarian conflict. Is there a chance that with his passing, Al-Qaeda's voice, the cheerleading for that sectarian conflict might diminish, that bridges might be rebuilt? Or is that too rosy-tinted, too hopeful?
I think there is a chance that that's going to be the case, especially now the Interior and Defense Ministry posts have been filled. And I think that's actually a more significant development on the political front. But it's going to take a little while to see whether a new figure comes to replace Zarqawi, who has his kind of charisma, his kind of status. He can attract the finances and the foreign volunteers and continue the suicide bombing campaign, which has been so provocative.
So here's Zarqawi, head of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. As Fawaz Jurjis says, that's only maybe 5 or 10%. But what's the significance of the Al-Qaeda piece of the insurgency? Has it turned it in one direction or another? If its role diminishes, will we see, for example, fewer of these public bombings that kill so many Iraqis? Or is that also just part of the picture now?
Well, Al-Qaeda is only a small section of the insurgency. It is certainly a high-profile section of the insurgency. The U.S. military believes that they are responsible for most of the suicide bombings, that the foreign volunteers who are coming in to do the bombings, to martyr themselves, are essentially being controlled by Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and thus that makes them a significant percentage, albeit that more Iraqi nationalist groups are more engaged in the day-to-day guerrilla tactics against U.S. and government forces in the Sunni areas. The real high-profile sort of atrocities are blamed on Al-Qaeda in Iraq.
I want to ask you about the actual killing. Let's listen to the remarks of Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki speaking about the contribution of Iraqis to that.
What happened today is a result of cooperation that we have been asking from our masses and from our citizens and the sons of our country that have been cooperating with us by providing us with information and to have facilitated the task of Iraqi forces and multinational forces.
Jeremy Binney in London, do you buy that? Is this a symbol, an indication of a turning of Iraqi civilians against the insurgency project? He's suggesting that the masses sort of turned in Zarqawi.
We don't have the details yet. The Jordanians are claiming that they had some kind of role in it, and we're trying to check that out at the moment in terms of providing intelligence on where he was. And it probably was a case where someone relatively close to him provided some information that proved critical. I don't think you can really say that the masses were responsible in this respect, but there has been seemingly an increasing rejection of these kind of tactics and of the foreign involvement in Iraq, albeit there is still a lot of hostility towards the U.S. presence and towards the Shia-dominated government throughout the Sunni community, although security remains the major issue. And the government now has an opportunity, one with the death of Zarqawi and the appointment of the defence and interior ministers to have a chance now of moving forwards and using this as a turning point. And I think we should all wish him luck in that respect.
Americans and others very hungry for some news to give hope here. I mean, even those opposed to the war, the sort of endless slog going nowhere brings no joy. Is this a moment where hope is justified, Jeremy?
As I say, let's hope so. But that there is room for optimism here. I think with the government needs to be given a chance. The new prime minister seems to be more effective than the last one. He seems to be trying to wrestle with some of the major issues in terms of the sectarian violence and the Shia gangs that are roaming around, seemingly killing people with immunity. Let's hope that he can now use this as a springboard to rally support behind his government to solidify control over the military and the police forces and take Iraq forwards into a new era.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking today about the killing of Zarqawi and the road ahead in Iraq and beyond. Here's the top U.S. military commander in Iraq, General George Casey, speaking at a news conference earlier today.
Tips and intelligence from Iraqi senior leaders from his network led our forces to Zarqawi and some of his associates, who were conducting a meeting approximately 8 kilometers north of Bakuba when the airstrike was launched. We have been able to identify al-Zarqawi through fingerprint verification, facial recognition, and known scars.
U.S. General George Casey, U.S. military commander in Iraq, there in Baghdad. We've been joined from London by Jeremy Binney, senior analyst with Jane's Terror and Insurgency Center, and right now from Baghdad itself by John Finer of The Washington Post. John, thank you very much for being with us. Can you tell us anything more about exactly how U.S. forces and perhaps others tracked Zarqawi down?
Well, according to the military people that we've talked to here today, they were very careful to say that this was not just an operation that was conducted on a snap piece of intelligence at the last minute. This was the result of what they called a painstaking process of tracking associates of Zarqawi, eventually leading to his spiritual advisor, a man whose last name is Rahman, who they tracked to this house where he was going to be meeting Zarqawi on Wednesday night, leading eventually to the airstrike that killed both men and at least four others.
Are they identified? There was some, we heard in the press conference this morning, some expectation that the U.S. forces had a lot of information in hand now, and once they've got Zarqawi, they'll start to work down the pyramid. How far? How fast?
Yeah, that's right. As of now, only two of the people who were killed in the house have been identified, Zarqawi and Rahman. What they did say was they had a lot of intelligence, which they called actionable, which means that they could take that intelligence and use it to conduct other operations. And in fact, in the hours after the airstrike was conducted on the house near Bakuba that killed Zarqawi, there were 17 simultaneous raids conducted in and around Baghdad that they said were in some way related to either information they got at the scene about Zarqawi or information that they had used in the process of tracking Zarqawi. So there is a sense that they've already used this information to go after other targets, although the results of those raids has not been made public.
Was the $25 million bounty part of this picture? Do we know?
Well, the bounty is still standing, certainly. It has not been, they have not said one way or the other whether this bounty has been paid out or will be paid out. I don't know that answer.
And what about Zarqawi's actual role recently? There's been some kind of talk that killing in this very region had surged in recent weeks, perhaps because he was there. Was he that tightly involved in operational matters? Was he directing specific attacks?
Well, I think that's really hard to say. It is a fact that killing and attacks in and around Bakuba have surged over a period of at least 6 weeks to 2 months. But there have been reports that Zarqawi was sighted south of Baghdad, that he was hiding out in Ramadi west of Baghdad. The sense that we get is that he certainly moves around quite a bit in an effort to avoid being targeted the way he was successfully targeted on Wednesday night, and that it's probably not the case that he has sort of micro-level control on the ground of individual cells, although, you know, a lot of this is speculative and informed only by the statements that we see on the Internet and the very few interviews that people have been able to conduct with insurgents.
John, talk to us about the atmosphere there in Baghdad today, this sort of careful dance between U.S. Forces and Iraqi officials, the U.S. not wanting to appear to claim all the credit here, it appears, and maybe shouldn't, but is there a celebratory mood? Is it muted? Is Maliki's public celebration shared by Iraqis? Can you see response yet in different sectors?
I would describe it as a celebratory mood here. This seems to be one of those rare days in Iraq where people on all sides of the political spectrum seem to be pleased with the news that's come out of the country today. The government also announced, just minutes after it was revealed that Zarqawi had been killed, that it had filled its last remaining three cabinet posts that held up the completion of the government for months and months as they sort of bickered over the names of these people. So those sort of twin pieces of news, Ambassador Khalilzad, the U.S. ambassador to Iraq, said he hoped that this would be a day that would start to bring Iraqis together behind the new government. Of course, it's far too early to know whether or not that will be the case. You probably remember that after Saddam Hussein was captured back in 2003, there was this sense that the insurgency would buckle and that the security situation would improve dramatically. And, of course, quite the opposite occurred.
Let's listen for just a moment to Ambassador Khalilzad, U.S. ambassador today in Baghdad, on the death of Zarqawi.
The death of Abu Musab Zarqawi marks a great success for Iraq and the global war on terror. I congratulate General Casey, who has been here now for 700 days. Zarqawi was the godfather of sectarian killing terror in Iraq.
The godfather of sectarian killing. John, do you have a sense of how U.S. troops may receive this? Like everybody else, they're thirsty for good news.
Well, I'm sure this will be very, very happily received by U.S. troops across the country, whether or not they were directly involved in the process of hunting him down. This is a clear victory in a war where a lot of the results of actions and operations are ambiguous at best. This is a clear victory for the military, and I'm sure that they will be celebrated. The president has already sort of signaled how happy he is with the performance of the military in recent weeks and months. And as you know, based on some of the other incidents that have happened in Haditha with the charges that Marines have killed innocent civilians, this is certainly going to be welcome news, because some of the other news that's been coming out lately has not been so positive.
And finally, John, do you see this as a chance for Iraqi Shia and Sunni to patch up the deep sectarian divide that Zarqawi was so instrumental, apparently, in digging here? Or is that already launched and has a momentum of its own now?
Well, I think in a sense, I mean, that's what the biggest cause for sort of caution in terms of sort of overwhelming optimism about what effect this could have. In a sense, this has become a much more complicated conflict than simply a showdown between al-Qaeda in Iraq and U.S. military forces, partly because of the work and the violent efforts of Zarqawi. This really has evolved into a sectarian conflict where people that didn't have a role in fighting are now killing each other, killing their neighbors, launching retaliatory attacks. And whether or not the elimination of one figurehead of one insurgent group can undermine that process, as you say, can put the train back in the station, it's certainly not evident that it can. We'll just have to wait and see.
John Finer with The Washington Post in Baghdad, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you again for having me on.
Jeremy Binney in London with Janes. What about the bigger picture here? For al-Qaeda, does the Sunni-Shia split work for their larger goal? I mean, in Iraq, it's given them, it gave Zarqawi a lot to work with. But does it divide their effort more broadly among Muslims? Or is this really a Sunni movement globally?
Al-Qaeda is a Sunni movement. But the targeting of Shia has been quite controversial. We've seen statements from the leadership, from Ayman al-Zawahiri in particular, suggesting that this isn't the best way to move forwards, not necessarily because they disagree with it at an ideological level, but because they want to maintain broad support in the Muslim world, and that it's something that bin Laden has traditionally been very focused on, is trying to unify Muslims as much as possible behind the movement and not to create what they call fitna, which is strife within the Ummah, the Islamic nation.
We've got more voices to come, but I want to hear from our listeners here. Jeremy Binney in London, please stand by. Jim is calling from Columbia, South Carolina. Hi, Jim, you're on the air. Hello, Jim. Are you there, my friend? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. I really do, that they got this guy, and I want to just say thank you to the U.S. military for whatever part they played in it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you're still going to see the violence for a while to come, but it's still a great thing. And the left-wing media in the U.S. is going to downplay this as much as they can, and liberals are going to, you know, say it's no big deal. But to me it is, and I think to a lot, most people it is. And, you know, I just think...
Jim, does it hearten your support for the war? Does it lead you to hang in there longer?
Absolutely. You know what? Even if they didn't get him, I would still support it, because I'm so sick and tired of the left and the left-wing media harping on everything. Our soldiers don't get the benefit of the doubt when there's you know, like that, where those people supposedly slaughtered.
Yeah, hey Jim, I don't know about that. I've heard a lot of right-wing media pretty upset with the progress of this war as well. I don't know if you can put that on one side, but we hear the heartening that you feel with this and acknowledge it. And thank you for your call there. Let me get another call from Waverly, Iowa. Frederick's on the line. Hi, Frederick. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Tom.
Hi.
Wow, that last caller is just... pretty much opened up a pretty big front there.
Well, a lot of people think that way, but we're just trying to look at the whole picture. How do you see it, Frederick?
Well, first of all, in response to his thing, I just wish that people would get rid of this football game mentality. I mean, you're talking about the death of a person. I've seen his videos. He is a brutal dude, brutal guy for sure.
Not just a person and brutal, also a leader. I mean, he was the head of Al-Qaeda here, even if that's a small part of the insurgency.
Yeah, that's right, and it's really not a good thing all the way around. But what I'm getting at is that it's a sad day in humanity in general when we have to celebrate the death of somebody to, you know, measure our own success.
In war, are you not prepared even at this time? In war, are you not prepared to, you know, go, I don't know, bang a pot at the death of someone who's sawing the heads off Americans?
Yeah, I know, and so from the beginning, now this Jim guy, the guy you just called,
yep.
he's into the sports game mentality, and that's what I'm talking about here. Can humanity in general get rid of this, you know, sports mentality, a winner, a loser? I mean, of course the conflict is already going on, but he calls me a radical left or whatever, but, you know, our whole thing is that, okay, if you want to play sports and fine, but God, how far does it have to go? You know what I'm saying?
I do hear you. We're deep in some blood sport here. There's no question about that. But you know, at the moment you're in it, it does feel like a relief not to have this particular opponent up against us. Frederick, thanks for your call. I want to turn to New York and Ragida Daragam, senior diplomatic correspondent for the Arab daily Al Hayat. She's Lebanese, got a good eye on the region, and been watching very closely with the rest of us. Ragida, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
How do you expect this is going to be received across the region? Was Zarqawi seen as a hero, as a madman? What?
Well, Zarqawi was seen as the man who was one of the freelancers of terror who went to Iraq to answer the call of President George W. Bush when he said, bring them on. And so, therefore, he went there to exercise his terrorism at the expense of the Iraqis. So it is very good news for all Iraqis that he's out of the picture. But that is not to say that he is the only one who was important and lethal in the insurgency.
Well, you say it's good news, but what about those Sunni Iraqis who apparently have made up Zarqawi's foot soldiers, them and I guess foreigners coming in, but he was not without support.
Absolutely, and this is why, of course, he was the godfather of the sectarian killing, but it's also important to note or to pay attention that the Shiites do not overlook what would mean if they claim that this is the personal victory, because the Sunnis have suffered just as much at the hands of Zarqawi, and it is absolutely important that both the Shiites in Iraq and the Iranian government, that they do not see this as a tipping of balance in their favor. They should not capitalize on this too much as a Shia victory, because that will exacerbate the intercommunal tensions. And I think it's important that every policy, including the American policy, pays attention to that. It is important to look after the agony of the Iraqis altogether, not only the Shiites' agony, because, as I said, and I want to repeat, this is about how much the Iraqis have suffered. And he was well known for killing Iraqis. He was not well known for really only killing Americans.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, again and again, in some of the highest profile bombings, in the midst of funerals, in the midst when police were coming to sign up to be recruited as cadets. We've heard about it for years.
Indeed, and that is why I would like to say, while it is important for the United States to say, to claim this at its own victory, it's very important not to have it look as if it's an exclusive American victory. The Iraqis have suffered the agony most, and it is important that the United States does not look as if it's dominating the airwaves to make it an American victory. It will be useful to even, you know, go out of the way to say this is more of an Iraqi victory, so that the Iraqi public will join hands, as it should, in hunting down more of these freelancers of terror who came to Iraq for their own agenda.
There's more we want to hear on that regional perspective, but let me get another listener in here first. Ali is calling from Boston. Hi, Ali, you're on the air.
How you doing, sir, today?
Well, what do you think about this killing, this death?
Actually, this is good news. You know, I was there for a little while ago, former Marine, and I'm really happy about it, and it makes our soldiers be more comfortable to go around, walk around the streets in Iraq, anywhere in Iraq. And
do you really think the consequences will be that material, that American soldiers will not be as worried about, you know, being shot or blown up today as they were yesterday?
First of all, you still have to worry about that, because one thing about the Muslim world, they don't accept outsiders. That's one of the big main problems. And I think this makes it easier for us than what it used to be like yesterday or the days before.
Yeah, we hear it. And you've been there as a Marine, so there's the on-the-ground perspective, Ali. Thanks for your call. Jeremy Binney, what about this issue? Ali's been there. Others have said the same. Zarqawi's dead, but the American forces are still there. They are outsiders. And we can hear in the comments of lots of people from the Iraqi street the resentment that that engenders, even as many want them there. Does the U.S. run up against, at some point, the limits of what it can do as an outside force? The British have tried this and failed years ago.
I think in these kind of modern warfares, there are restrictions in what an occupying force can do in these kind of countries. You definitely have a problem maintaining public support. It's easy to make mistakes. It's very easy for things to go wrong. You need a clear strategy and a clear idea of what's going on the ground. Maybe the U.S. military didn't go in with that clear idea of how to put the country back together at the start, and hopefully lessons are being learned.
Jeremy Binney, senior analyst with Jane's Terror and Insurgency Center. Mr. Binney, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Here's Donald Rumsfeld earlier today hailing what he called two victories in Iraq, the death of Zarqawi and the swearing in, finally, after a long wait, of three key ministers in the newly formed Iraqi government.
I think it's appropriate that the man who tried to stop the elections a year ago January, who tried to stop the drafting and failed, who tried to stop the drafting of the Constitution and a referendum on the Constitution last October and failed, who tried to stop the elections December 15th and failed on the very day that the elected officials of that country were able to finalize their ministries.
Donald Rumsfeld expressing satisfaction today on the death of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. We've been joined from New York by Raghida Daragam. She's senior diplomatic correspondent for the Arab daily Al-Hayat. With us right now from Baghdad, the spokesperson for Iraqi President Jalal Talabani, Kamran Qardahi, joins us. Mr. Qardahi, thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure.
What does this killing mean? What does it not mean? How do you see it?
Well, I would like to say first that my friend Raghida made a very good point. This is a victory first of all for the Iraqi people. As Zarqawi was an enemy of all Iraqis, not only of the Shias. He made statements, continuous statements. He called to kill the Shias because they were infidels. He called to kill the Kurds because they are traitors. He called to kill those Sunni Arabs who joined the political process. So this means that an important battle has been won by the Iraqi people. and one dangerous terrorist leader is less, and that's very good news. So it means a lot, really, for Iraqis. However, we should not be under the illusion that the fight against terrorism came to an end. It will continue, and there will be more battles. But I think from now on, you will see a new stage in the battle against terrorism in Iraq. I think terrorists will be now under continuous attack from the Iraqi forces, supported and helped by the coalition forces.
Your boss, Iraqi President Jalal Talabani, is Sunni and Kurd. We're told that al-Qaeda, Zarqawi's organization, only represents 5 to 10% of the insurgency in Iraq. With his passing, how would you describe the main membership of the insurgency? What is the bulk of it? And what's the main goal? His goal was a new, you know, fundamentalist caliphate. What's the goal of the insurgency as it stands today, and who's driving it?
Well, you know, the insurgency is not united. There are different groups and parts of the insurgency. There are the Islamist extremists like Zarqawi, Al-Qaeda, other groups, Ansarul Islam. This is one part of it. Then there we have the old Saddamist Ba'ath regime remnants who are also an important part of the insurgency. They have one thing in common: to destabilize Iraq, to attack and fail and make this new experiment of Iraq a failure. They don't like to see new Iraq. They are against democracy. They are against the participation of all Iraqis in their in the new government. So this is really a battle against these different groups who are united by one strategy against the Iraqi people, but they also have different goals and different aims. The Saddamist Ba'athists want to regain power. Zarqawi's Qaeda want to establish an Islamist rule in Iraq. But I think that the Iraqi people now, and with the new government in place, there is a determination to fight terrorism and defeat it.
Mr. Kardahi, you're very highly placed in the government there as spokesperson for the Iraqi president. I want to turn to a kind of man-in-the-street voice outside the green zone for a moment, if I may. Also joining us from Baghdad is Moya Jenabi. He's an Iraqi businessman, works with computers, half Shiite, half Sunni. Mr. Jenabi, thank you very much for joining us. What do you make of this news? What's your reaction to Zarqawi's death?
Zarqawi, it's you know, it's meaning to Iraqi's people. He's hate all the Iraqi people, not Sunni and Shia or Shia and Sunni. He's hate all the Iraqi's people. If he want to be Iraq in freedom and democratic, and he must not do what he done.
So many killings.
We are Sunni and Shia. We are all brothers.
All brothers, but there's been a lot of fighting lately. Are you more optimistic today after Zarqawi's death? Are you more optimistic about the future?
No. It's you know. We hope. We hope to a good future to us. You know, I am Sunni and my wife is Shia. We married before 35 years. What does that mean? That means it's no different between Sunni and Shia.
There's the voice of hope from Moya Jenabi in Baghdad. Thank you very much for being with us. Raghada Dergham, you're hearing two optimistic voices out of Iraq right there. Do you share that optimism, or are we going to be back here in 6 months or a year, more killing, more woe, no resolution?
Well,
they have the upper voice here and the upper hand. I mean, it is, as I said, it is their pain, and I am an observer sitting in New York, so I respect what my colleague and friend Kamran Qaradawi had said, and as well as what Mr. Jalabi has expressed of optimism. It's the optimism of the need as well. I mean, take a look at the light. Look how, from outside, take a look at that picture in Iraq. It's not a pretty one. And
sure isn't.
Even the pain that they feel that can only be imagined by us outside. But I want to emphasize a point that Kamran Qaradaghi pointed out,
yes.
Which he said that there's a new stage in the battle against terrorism in Iraq. And I think that is probably going to be very true, simply because there has been more of an active public fight against the terrorists who have been killing Iraqis. So I have always maintained in my columns that the only way to win this war on terror is to take the Arab public and the Islamic public and Allah in the fight against terrorism. Now, Zarqawi had been, of course, he had been a horror for the Iraqi people. I mean, he was not popular amongst the Iraqis, nor was he popular, actually, in any other part of the Arab world. You might just say exception of Jordan. But that was a special case. And even there, Tom, I want to say, even there, after the bombings of the hotels...
This is last November, yes. Killed 60 people in the hotels in Amman, Jordan, yes?
What happened to the popularity of Zarqawi? It waned. And in fact, his agenda has never been confined to Iraq. His agenda was to use Iraq, only to use Iraqis and Iraq, as a springboard for his regional ambitions and for his agenda that has nothing to do with the construction of the region, but has everything to do with the destruction of the region. So he was he was a special threat to Iraq because he was operating in Iraq. But there has been, if you would remember, people have spoken quite a lot about the romanticism with Osama bin Laden, with Abu Mus'ab Zarqawi.
We've been hearing about it just this week with Canadian terrorists, young kids arrested in North America.
Well, we need to distinguish between how people relish the defiance of the United States, because people in that part of the world differ with American policies, and they remain to see that the American policies in Iraq, look what they've done to Iraq. It's a case in point. It's the mistake or the policy of making mistakes in the point of view of some that had brought about the destruction of the very infrastructure of Iraq.
Raghina Dargham, if I may, Kamran Qaradaghi, we've got a lot of listeners who want to join us. I'm sure they'd like to speak with you both. Jan is calling from Fairfax, West Virginia. Hi, Jan, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Actually, it's Fairfax, Virginia.
Oh, good, thanks.
And I just think it's a really sad day for Americans and for humanity when we celebrate the death of a human being. I think democracy and justice would have been better served had we caught Zarqawi alive and tried him in a court of law in a fair trial. And I think in human nature that this is just going to further strengthen the venom against Americans.
But is that too much to ask in war, Jan? I mean, Haditha, there you apparently have a real problem. Nobody would endorse that, but... You know, if this was the only way to get him, and it's war, and he's the head of forces who are killing Iraqis and Americans, even then, would you have let him go rather than kill him with a bomb?
I wouldn't let him go. I think that, you know, we need to look at our whole tactic for war. I think that when we use death and torture to fight terrorism, we are just lowering ourselves to the level of the terrorists. And when you look at how would Americans be reacting if they killed one of our top people, like Rumsfeld? I mean, they're just another organization of human beings, and it's one ideology against another.
Let us put that to our friend from Baghdad, and thank you for your call, Jan. Mr. Qaradaghi, what about it? What will this do to Iraqi perceptions of American forces, that it was two big bombs who killed Zarqawi? Will this raise America's standing? Does it engender resentment? How do you imagine that?
Well, I think that Iraqis will be full of taste for the American act. I think Iraqis have been striving for that there will be a very concentrated and immediate determination on the part of the American forces, the Iraqi forces, to go on the attack, because we are facing a very dangerous type of terrorism. These people have no respect for human life. They have no respect for human beings, and they will do anything to achieve their goals. And I think it is time for a new kind of strategy to attack the terrorists wherever they are, and not just wait to react to actions. It is now time to change the strategy, and I can assure you that this is happening really. And lately, in the last months, particularly after the formation of the new Iraqi government, we have been seeing more and more cooperation between the American forces, the coalition forces, and the Iraqi authorities.
And you're looking there for hope, and we understand that. I want to get a call from Hartford, Connecticut, if I may. Eric is on the line. Hi, Eric. You're on the air.
Hi, Rad. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Yeah.
I think that the death of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi is a good thing from the point of view that he was clearly a murderous thug responsible for the deaths of many Iraqis. But ultimately, I feel that his role was greatly exaggerated by the U.S. government, that he was a sort of figurehead, that he was a solid link to the government's idea that the war on Iraq is part of the larger war on terror. As you said, he represents a rather small part of the insurgency. So I think that, if anything, this will give people false hope.
Small part, but a very big profile. Eric, thanks for your call. Raghada Daragam in New York. And Kamran Kardahi, spokesperson for the president of Iraq, Jalal Talabani. I want to thank both of you for being with us in this hour. Thank you very much for your insights. We're grateful to you both.
Thank you.
Joining me now from Monterey, California, Caleb Sepp, retired Special Forces Lieutenant Colonel, teaches defense studies at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California. Caleb Sepp, speak to the caller's last point there, if you'd be good enough. How do you see this in the overall context of the war on terror, al-Qaeda, uppercase? How important a day, an event, a development is this?
Well, Tom, the caller had much of this right, that there's two levels to look at. That one is the global al-Qaeda movement, and the other is the effect this is going to have on al-Qaeda in Iraq. Globally, this might be compared to when Che Guevara was hunted down and executed in Bolivia in 1966.
But then he became a hero. His picture was everywhere. He was a martyred inspiration.
He became a martyr, but it was the end of a whole wave of revolutions, mm-hmm. and there was a long gap after that. And,
yep.
But more significantly, at the higher level, the Cuban Revolution, which was the font of these sort of things, continued
mm-hmm.
without him.
Mm-hmm.
And using him exactly as you say as a martyr, the effect on in the Middle East may be very different. In 1995, when the Palestinian Islamic Jihad almost collapsed when Fatih Shikaki was killed,
mm-hmm.
but in 1992, when Abbas Musawi was assassinated, Hezbollah actually benefited when Hassan Nasrallah stepped up.
So 6 months from now, 1 year, are you led to hope today that we may be in a better situation, or does it just roll right on without Zarqawi?
It may well go without him because the organization was in place. Al-Qaeda in Iraq was becoming more and more Iraqified. More and more Iraqis were joining it, and so having a foreign leader may have been something that was going to eventually pass anyway. It'll be very important to watch now in the next few weeks. If al-Qaeda in Iraq tries to prove its viability with its leader dead by making some spectacular attacks.
And finally, Caleb Sepp, we've just got a minute here for Americans listening and trying to decide on their own position on the war, their level of support. Is the Bush administration correct in saying, stick with us, we're making progress here, or does this rise to that level?
This will mean the death of Zarqawi will mean something if it is immediately coupled with other major steps forward in improvement of governance in Iraq, improvement in the security situation, and enhancement of and continued revitalization of the Iraqi economy. Major steps, but if it continues to be incremental, even glacier-like, this may not mean anything.
A tall order, but a very big headline today. Caleb Sepp in Monterey at the Naval Postgraduate School. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.
Listeners, you can continue this conversation, download the On Point podcast, and subscribe to our daily newsletter, all at our website, onpointradio.org. On Point is produced by Meghna Chakrabarty, Julie Jopp, Eileen Amara, Stefano Katsonis, Matt Lieber, Hillary McQuilkin, Tanya Raleigh, James Ross, Christina Russo, and Karen Schiffman. Our senior producer is Graham Griffith. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.